It's nice to listen to a series of messages on love, but Skip Heitzig reminds us that all that information shouldn't just remain in our head. It should also be in our hearts and seen in our actions.
The real payoff to a series on love, the real payoff is when we practice it. Is when it becomes a part of our lifestyle. Jesus gave a message on love to his disciples. And at the end of his message, the punchline was this: now that you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
Make the connection.
Story. Some would-be burglars were foiled not long ago, and they couldn't get the door open to a restaurant they intended to rob. The diners watched with amusement as the robbers repeatedly tried to kick and shove open some glass doors that were clearly marked slide. Not all criminals are masterminds. It's important to not only read instructions, but to follow them as well. So in order to help keep us from looking inept when it comes to love, Skip Heitzig will share with us how we can put our love in action on today's broadcast of The Connection. But before we begin, here's Joey Belleville, producer of the As Stars Shine Bright Project, with some insight into the making of this CD.
Hey, this is Joey, and I was blessed with the opportunity to produce this record, As Stars Shine Bright. And I'll tell you about one really special moment in recording Oh Holy Night with Sarah Mason. We were recording at my studio. It was nighttime in the summer. We recorded her acoustic guitar, and just on a whim, I was walking outside to grab her a drink of water, and I could hear all kinds of crickets outside, and it seemed like such a beautiful, beautiful sound. I said, "Hey, I got a cool idea. What do you think about this?" And I put a sweatshirt on her, and I threw her outside in the dark, and I had her sing the song outside with the crickets. And so when you hear the outside ambient noise and the crickets that are in that song, they were actually right there. She was singing outside, and it was as if she was giving the entire city a lullaby, a beautiful, beautiful lullaby to go to sleep to.
Oh, holy night, stars are brightly shining. Oh, this is the night of our dear Savior.
Order your copy of As Stars Shine Bright for just $9 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, be sure to check out our other special holiday offers, including great gifts for the kids, such as the Explorer's New King James Version Bible for just $25. You'll find all these great holiday offers in our exclusive holiday catalog available at connectionradio.org. And with any order of $40 or more, we'll also send you a free Connection 2010 calendar featuring pictures taken by Skip Heitzig. Plus, shipping for all orders is just a flat $5. Find out more in our holiday catalog at connectionradio.org or ask us to email you our catalog when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Did we have to remind you? Christmas comes this Friday, so find out more about those great gift ideas at connectionradio.org. Or you can always write The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You know, today is the first part of the final message in our series, The Royal Road of Love. So open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13 and join us as we learn to apply the lessons of our journey on this road of love.
And make the
We're going to start our final day on the Royal Road of Love in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. Here's Skip Heitzig to get us started.
Love never fails. For whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Above all things in life, that's what we want. Above everything else there is to experience, what we want more than anything else is to know that we are truly loved unconditionally, absolutely. When we're young, we dream about it. Who we're going to marry. Where we're going to live. What life will be like when we live it happily ever after, white picket fence and all. When we grow older, we try to arrange it. We plan, we plot, we date. We try to make our dreams come true, but we miss the boat entirely. When we fail to understand the essence of true love, which is found in this chapter, we have already discovered it. True agape love. I went on the internet yesterday, and I decided to enter in two words into a search engine to see how many hits I would get. The two words were dating services. Because I know that people look in dating services to make their dreams come true. 3,355,000 hits for dating services. Now, I heard about a gal who went to a dating service, computerized dating service. She was very specific about what she wanted in a person to date. She wanted somebody who liked people, was small, preferred formal attire, and enjoyed water sports. The computer compiled all of the wish list and sent her a penguin. It's not what she had in mind when she was looking for true love. We have come to the end of our series. It's been six parts, including today. The real payoff to a series on love, the real payoff is when we practice it, is when it becomes a part of our lifestyle. Jesus gave a message on love to his disciples. And at the end of his message, the punchline was this: now that you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You know that blessed is just an old word for happy. What Jesus was saying is, men, that's the sermon, that's the message. But if you want to be happy, you won't be happy from knowing these things, you'll be happy from doing them, practicing them. And that's what I fear may happen, is that this would just be another Sunday, another sermon. No change. I would encourage you to go back over this chapter when this day is completed, maybe later on this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow morning. Go over these verses again, carefully, prayerfully, closely, meditatively. Go over the notes you've taken. Go over the tapes. Ask God to weave this into the very fabric of your thinking and lifestyle. There was a man, he was a husband. He was a professional. He was a chemist. And he was, because being so wrapped up in his work, as sometimes men do, he neglected his wife. And he was so wrapped up in his work that one day he walked into where his wife was and told her all about his latest experiment. She'd had enough. She broke down crying. Tears rolled down her cheeks, her eyes. And her husband noticed that she was crying, and her husband said, "Tears. I've analyzed tears. Tears contain a little phosphate of lime, a little chloride of sodium, some mucus, and some water." What was his mistake? His mistake is that he analyzed tears. He didn't analyze what brought the tears. We've analyzed love for 6 weeks. We've looked at what love is not, what love is. We've seen it as a diamond and spun it around at all of its facets. We've looked at a person who loves, a person who doesn't love. We've even taken a test on it last week. We've analyzed it. Now, today, this is graduation day. This is the time to take it from cognizance into experience. Otherwise, it's really is useless. Don't be like the professor who wrote a very learned book on the subject of love. The only problem is he had never been in love. And he took his manuscript to the typist to prepare it for the publisher, and he noticed that she was a very lovely, gracious young lady. Their eyes met. They began to speak, and something happened to the professor that wasn't in his book. In 5 minutes, he was happier with love in his heart than he had been for 30 years with love in his head. These verses form the conclusion of Paul's chapter on love. It's a short chapter, a very powerful chapter. He concludes and he says, the main thing, that's love, that's what I've been speaking about, is the greatest thing. Don't miss it. Seek for it. It's the main thing in terms of eternity. It's the main things in terms of maturity. It's the main thing in terms of priority. That's how I believe he ends and he concludes this chapter. He says, in effect, where we go in eternity, love is permanent. As we grow in maturity, love is prominent. And then finally, when it comes to priorities, love is preeminent. Go back to verse 8. That's where we left off last week. That's the first ending point. He says here that where we go in eternity, love is permanent, because he says love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Life can be very distracting to us. What I mean by that is that we can become so enthralled with the trivial, so bedazzled by the temporal, that we forget or neglect the eternal, what is permanent. He says love never fails. Never is a long time. You will spend most of your time, most of your life in eternity, not here. This is just a tiny little sliver of the whole package. Augustine once wrote, when a person grows spiritually, he transfers his love from things temporal to things eternal, from things visible to things invisible, from things carnal to things spiritual. In other words, as you move forward spiritually, you long for, you gravitate toward that which is permanent, stable. He says love never fails. Last week we told you what that Greek word pipto, fails, means. It means to fall to the ground. Love never falls to the ground. It was used of a flower whose petals would wither and decay and fall to the ground. I buy my wife flowers from time to time. She likes that. I don't do it often enough, I suppose, but I do it. She loves the aroma. She loves the sentiment. She likes seeing them right there on the table where we eat, a token of love. But I buy these flowers, bring them home, and then I get to watch them die for a week. And I look at those flowers that were once connected to the stem, to the root, giving off life, and I think, these flowers gave their lives for you. But they're so short-lived, they won't last very long once they are cut. Everything in life is like that, isn't it? It withers, it falls to the ground, it's temporal, not love. Even spiritual gifts, he says, come to an end. Notice the words concerning them. They fail. They cease. They vanish away. Those are the words of the temporary, not the eternal. Love never fails. These gifts will fail. Solomon wrote of love in the Song of Solomon when he said, "Many waters cannot quench love, many rivers cannot wash it away." You see, the Corinthian church had made such a huge deal of tongues, prophecy, knowledge, all the spiritual gifts. When they have a shelf life, they're going to end. They treated love in Corinth, however, sort of like Cinderella. She was there but disregarded, unimportant. And the apostle is saying the main thing is the greatest thing. All of these gifts, tongues, prophecy, I'll put them all in one pile and I'll write one word over them, temporary. They will fail. They will cease. They will vanish away. When? When will that happen? It says here, when that which is perfect is come. There is coming a day when you will no longer need prophecy, tongues, knowledge. For that matter, you won't even need your Bible. You'll be in the presence of the living Word. You won't need the written Word. When that which is perfect has come. Some have wrongly concluded that this refers to, that which is perfect, refers to the completion of the canon of Scripture. That Paul was saying to the Corinthians, you know, coming a day when the New Testament's going to be finished. I'm working on it right now. It's a long project. And when that's finished, that which is perfect, you'll no longer need spiritual gifts. That's not what he's writing about. First of all, that wouldn't be the plain sense of understanding that the Corinthians would have in this letter. There's no mention of it. Second, prophecy doesn't end once the New Testament is completed. How do we know that? Because we've read the book of Revelation, haven't we? And the book of Revelation predicts a ministry of prophecy by two witnesses in chapter 11. Two prophetic witnesses that will come on the earth and, according to Scripture, will prophesy 1,260 days. What Paul is referring to is the eternal state, when that which is perfect, when you are taken into God's immediate presence by death, by rapture, and then resurrected. That's perfect. That's perfection. When that happens, these things will no longer be needed. So Scripture is an accurate revelation of God, but just by reading the Scripture, you don't see face to face. Verse 12 tells us, then you will see face to face. When? When you're in heaven. Moses wanted to see the face of God. You remember? He said, Lord, I'm paraphrasing now. I've seen a lot of cool things. That Red Sea thing, awesome. Manna from heaven, great. But I want to see your face. I want to see your glory. God said, Moses, if you do, you'll be dead. For no man can see my face and live. But there's coming a day when you will see the face of God. You do die. You are raptured. You are resurrected. And you will see his face. By the way, to me, this is the best description of heaven I've ever read. Face to face. What's heaven going to be like, Skip? Face to face. Well, are there going to be golden streets? Where's heaven going to be? Are my pets going to be in heaven? Will I be able to ride my motorcycle in heaven? All of that is irrelevant, isn't it? Who cares? What is heaven? Face to face with your God. Dwight Lyman Moody, the evangelist, said, it's not the jeweled walls nor the pearly gates that are going to make heaven attractive. It is being with God. That which is perfect. When that happens, notice in verse 8, whether there are prophecies, they will fail. The prophets were always held in high regard, Old and New Testament. They heard from God. They spoke for God. People listened to prophets. In the New Testament, there was a character by the name of Agabus who was a prophet. He predicted that the entire Roman Empire would suffer a famine, and it did. So everybody started taking him seriously. So that in chapter 21, 11 chapters later from that prediction, when Agabus takes Paul's belt and wraps his hands and feet with it, and he says, whoever owns this belt will be bound when he goes to Jerusalem, they took him seriously. Philip the evangelist, the Bible says, had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Timothy's ministry started by prophecy. Paul said, "Don't neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy and the laying on of hands of the elders." The entire book of Revelation is a prophecy to John, a prediction of the future. There's coming a day when you won't need predictions of the future. You'll be in the future. You'll be back to the future. You'll be living in the presence of God. They'll cease. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Now, we've already discovered that the Corinthians were fond of the gift of tongues, inordinately fond of the gift of tongues. They paraded the gift of tongues. They abused the gift of tongues. They were proud that they spoke in tongues. And Paul writes to correct part of that. In chapter 14, Paul will say, tongues are good, but it's not to be used in the church at large. It's to be a private prayer language by and large. And there's coming a day when that prayer language is no longer needed. That language will be obsolete. Now, we know that language becomes obsolete very rapidly. That's why we need new translations of the Bible into English every few years. Our language is fluid. It changes. At one time in history, the Greek language was the universal language. At one time in history, Latin, the language of the Roman Empire, was universal. At one time in Scotland, Gaelic was spoken by everyone. It's hard to find anybody to speak it today. Language changes, and so with this gift of tongues, this ability to communicate from our spirit directly to God's spirit, we'll no longer need it. Why? Because we'll be face to face. And when you're face to face in the perfect state, you won't even need prayer as we know it today.
Everlasting love. It's what people seek in books, movies, music, and relationships. But the only place we can truly find it is in the arms of our Heavenly Father. Turn your eyes towards heaven and let His love and mercy rain down. Or since it's winter, maybe snow down on you. Well, that's going to wrap things up for today. But keep it here, and I'll let you know how to pick up a copy of today's teaching after a couple of more gift ideas for Under the Tree.
2,000 years ago, God came to earth in the flesh as the baby Jesus. 2,000 years later, questions about who He was and what He was really like still remain.
When Jesus Christ came into this world, history changed. It was the fulcrum of history up to this point. You might say the coming of Christ the first time was the hinge by which the door of time swings.
This Christmas, share answers to those with questions in the book Encounter by Skip Heitzig. The Gospels record Jesus' encounters with people from all walks of life. And by examining how Jesus treated people and how He responded to their needs, we can get a more complete picture of what it must have been like to be with Him. Share a personal encounter with Jesus Christ this Christmas with the book Encounter, an update to Skip Heitzig's book, Jesus Up Close, when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. For a limited time, you can get Encounter along with another book from Skip called Beyond the Summer of Love for just $15. Or if you're looking for other gift ideas from Skip Heitzig, consider one of Skip's recent teaching series like The Biography of God or From the Edge of Eternity. They're all specially priced for the holidays. And any order of $40 or more will also receive a free Connection 2010 calendar with photos taken by Skip Heitzig. Find out more when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Now, for a copy of today's message, The Main Thing is the Greatest Thing, visit connectionradio.org. This informative message from Skip is available on CD for just $6. That includes shipping. And as we end this series, in 2010, we'll begin an exciting new series that will take us through the entire Bible. Join us as Skip Heitzig takes us through the Bible from 30,000 feet.
As the year winds down here at The Connection, we're looking forward to 2010. I know that right now you're all tied up with Christmas and holiday commitments, but would you make a mental note to join us on Monday, January 4th, as we take off on a flight through the entire Bible? That's right. You're going to hear the Bible taught in a very unique way. We call it the Bible from 30,000 feet. And it will take us about 6 months to cover from Genesis to Revelation with our daily radio format. The plane is going to take off on the first Monday in January, So plan to join us for that maiden voyage and see the whole Bible from 30,000 feet. It's going to be a great journey through God's Word.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
I hope you've enjoyed this study on love, and we'll bring it to a close next time. So be sure to join us then as we end our journey on the Royal Road of Love on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.